There are many mitzvahs that we perform on the night of the Seder. There's matzah and morah, dalakosos and haseba, and of course the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So many mitzvahs. The night is full of mitzvahs. But what's the tachlis of the whole night? What's the tachlis of the Leil HaSeder? What's the tachlis of all the mitzvahs that we're performing on the Seder night? The Baal HaGadol says, Afilu kulonu chachamim, kulonu zekeinim, kulonu nevonu, kulonu yodim es haTorah, mitzvah leinu lesaper biyetzias Mitzrayim. That it doesn't matter how educated we are, what kind of great chachamim we are, we still have a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We don't find such a memory regarding any other mitzvah. No one says, Afilu kulonu chachamim, kulonu yodim es haTorah, we still have to put on tefillin, we still have to blow shofar. It's a davar pashut, it's one of the tired mitzvahs. So like, what's the havamim? What's the havamina that we would think that since we're chachamim, since we're nevonim, since we know the Torah, so then we wouldn't have a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's more, v'chol amar b'lasaper b'yetzias Mitzrayim, harei zeh meshubach. The Baal HaGadol says that the more you mesaper, the better. What kind of a strange notion is this? Ribuy of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, harei zeh meshubach. You do the mitzvah. Put on tefillin. You blow shofar, take a lulav, you fulfill the mitzvah. What's this idea that if you're marble esaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, that's more meshubach? The Maral, in the beginning of his Gruas Hashem, in Perek Aleph, asked another kash. He says, how can one be marbe b'shivchei Hashem? Person gives shvachim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He mentions HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praises. We know there's a pasuk, Mi yamalo gvuras Hashem yashmir kol tehilasa. That it's impossible to mention all of the tehilos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to mention all of the shvachim. The Gemara in Brachas and Aflam Gimel says, Ha'udu nochis kamei de Reb Chanina. There was someone who was a shliach tzibur who went down in front of Rabbi Chanina. He was the Rav in Shtot, in the shul. And he said, Okay, la godol, la gibor, ha nora, ha adir, ha amitz, ha izuz, ha amiti, ha yo. He kept on saying, Shvachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Chanina said to him, Siyamtinu l'shvachay demarach. What, you finished? That's it. Genuk, that's enough. You said all the shvachim. So, that's something we can't do. We can't be mona all of Shivchei HaMakom. We can't count off all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praises. So, Frek the Maral, how can we be marbe b'yitzias Mitzrayim, v'sapa b'yitzias Mitzrayim? What are we doing? We're saying, we're being v'sapa b'nisim v'neflo, saying all the great things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us and to the Mitzrim, all the Shvachim. So, isn't that a problem? How can we be mona Shvachim shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to continue to do more and more and more? Why is that mutter? Forget about whether it's Meshubach. Why is that even permissible? I mean, we find in the Gemara that Chazal say that we can only give the shvachim that are given in Tanakh. We can only refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way that the Nevi'im refer to him, but we can't start to add other shvachim. So this episode, when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, we can add more and more. The Maral says that there's the Yesod, that the answer to this question and to all these other questions really is the Yesod, and that is, what are we trying to do with the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Are we just telling this story? Are we Mona Shivchei HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is that the goal? So he says, no, the goal of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to come to Hakaras HaTov, to come to an appreciation, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything he did, to understand the incredible chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with us, to bring us to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the whole hishtalshlus of how we got to Yetzias Mitzrayim, the makas, etc. To appreciate all of the chasdei Hashem that really had no limit. There was no gvul to them. Hakaras HaTov has no limit to it. So it's mutter laharich b'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not only is it mutter, it's even a mitzvah laharich. Mitzvah laharich because we're not just moneh shvachim shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're expressing Hakaras HaTov for those nisim v'neflos. And that Hakaras HaTov has no limit. So that's why kol amar b'lesaper harei zeh meshubach. This be'emes is mavur in the Rambam. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Asei Kuf Nun Zayin, talks about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he formulates it in the following way. He says, he should tzivonu l'saper b'yetzias Mitzrayim b'lo chamish ha'otze b'nisam b'tchilas ha'layla, v'chol ma she'yosef b'maymer v'yarech ha'dvarim b'hagdolas ma she'ose lonu Hashem. Someone who's marech b'sipur, he's marech b'dvarim, about the greatness of everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, Masha Asa Lanu HaMitzvim, what the mitzvim did. May Ovel V'chomas, the bear the mitzvim did to us. V'chlokach Hashem Nikmasenu Mehem, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his revenge, took our revenge from the mitzvim. He was our shliach. Ulahodos lo yisale al kol tuv shegmalanu, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of that goodness. Yiyeh yoser tov. The more that a person is marvelous sapper in the nisim v'nefos that led up to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the nisim v'nefos of Yetzias Mitzrayim and its aftermath, and lahodos lo yisala, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say ahalel, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that he did, hareza meshubach. Kamo sha'amu v'chalamarach l'sapper b'Yetzias Mitzrayim, hareza meshubach. It's clear from the Rambam that the mitzvah sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is not completed until halel. Hallel is the final step. And it's really the key. That's the climax of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The climax of the Maggid is what? Is Dayenu and Hallel. It's not just the expression. It's not just talking about the Nisim V'Neflos, but to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim V'Neflos. That's the goal. Hakaras HaTov. That's the goal of all of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You want to, you know, think about what's, you know, what's my purpose? What are we doing over here? Just telling stories about Yetzias Mitzrayim? That's very important. But what's the goal? The goal is to say thank you. The goal is to show appreciation, to express appreciation, to feel appreciation, believe. That's the goal of the whole Seder night. Based on this, we can understand what the Baal HaGadol says, that filu kolonu chachamim, kolonu nevonim, kolonu yodim es haTorah, mitzvah v'sapeh b'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why do we still have a mitzvah sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? If the mitzvah sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim were about knowing the nisim and nefos, knowing all of the details, so we know them already. We've gone through them many, many years. We've gone through them in yeshiva, and at the seder, and we know. Okay, you can always add. But we basically know what happened. We know the nisim and nefos. So one could say, Talmid HaChacham, the greatest Talmid HaChacham, knows so much more than we know. They know kamat everything that there is to know. So why should they have to be Mesaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim on the Seder night? What's the goal? If the goal is Yediyas Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yediyas all of the Inyonim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so then they know it. The Chacham shouldn't have to be Mesaper. But if the goal of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to come to HaKaras HaTov, it's not enough to know. You got to say it over. You got to express it year after year, because it's when you talk about it. When you think about it together with others and you express all the details, you talk about the details over and over and over again, that brings you to a greater appreciation. Even if you know it. You know, you might know the tovos that a person has done for you. But when you talk about it, when you express it befeh, it brings it home in a different way. So it's the same thing here. We know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us tovos, but when we express it, when we go through the details and we recount everything that happened, everything we know, and we see in New Perush and more things, more and more and more, we have a greater Hakara Sotel, we have a greater appreciation, and that's really the goal of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Maral says in a different place, he says, you know, there's an old question, why we don't make a brach on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Many of the Rishonim talk about it. Different answers are given in other years, we've talked about answers to this kasha. Maral writes, in a different context, he says he thinks the answer to this kasha is that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the ikar of the mitzvah is belief. It's not b'maisa, it's not b'dibur, so that's why we don't make a bracha. So it could be, just putting the two marals together, it could be that what the maral is saying is the ikar of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to feel HaKaras HaTov. That's the key in belief, to feel HaKaras HaTov. So that's exactly the point. Kol amar b'lasapa harezim meshubach, because if HaKaras HaTov is the goal, then the more HaKaras HaTov we have, the better. If HaKaras HaTov is the goal, then the ikar mitzvah is belave. And if the ikar mitzvah is belave, the mitzvah b'shleimusa can't be fulfilled without that hargosha belave, so that would explain why there's no bracha, because you don't have a bracha when the ikar mitzvah is belave and not the ma'aseh b'dibur. I think this yesod can answer one final question. You know, Chazal were koveya that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim should take place around the drushes of Mikra Bikurim. In Parshas Kisavo, Arami, Ovid Ovi, Vayered Mitzrayim, etc., etc. As we know, the Haggadah Tzeil Mad. Everyone asks, why does the Baal Haggadah choose Parshas Kisavah? What does he choose Mikra Bikurim for? You know, he could just take the Psukim and say for Shmos. Psukim and Parshas Shmos talk about the Shibud, and the Psukim and Parshas Bo talk about the Geula and Parshas Bishal. He could just take the Psukim from Sefer Shmos. What does he have to use Parshas Kisavah? And it sounds from the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah that the drushes of the Psukim from Mikra Bikurim, that's the Ikar. That's the Ikar. The Rambam has a fascinating phrase. He says in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet, that Kol HaMosef U'Marech B'drash Parshas Zu HaReza Meshuvach. Like, it sounds like there's an inyan to be Doresh, the Psukim of the Parshas Bikurim. That's the Ikar. If you're most of the marach, not in Sibir, most of the marach in the drushes of the psukim, harezim b'shubach. What's so special about Parshas Bikurim that Chazal instituted that Sibir should take place in the context of the drushes of this parsha? Could be, if you look at the beginning of Parshas Bikurim, the pasuk right before what we start with. What does the pasuk say? Basel ha-kohen ha-sheyir b'yam ma'im. You take the Bikurim up to the Beis Hamikdash, you come to the kohen ha-sheyir b'yam ma'im, v'yamar te'elav. Higanati ayom Hashem Elokecha kivasi al ha'arish asher nishba Hashem Elokeinu asher nishba Hashem la'avoseinu la'aseh lanu. You come to the Kohen and you say, kivasi al ha'aretz, I have these bikurim, I want to give them as a carbon. I'm here for what? I'm here to say thank you. Says Rashi, the amarta elav she'ein chakofri tova. What are you saying? The amarta elav means I'm here to say thank you. I'm here to say I'm not a kafri tov. I understand where the bikurim come from. These are my first fruits. I know where they came from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me these fruits. This is not my doing. That's what the parasha bikurim is all about, is to express HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chazal instituted that Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim should take place through the vehicle of the drushes of parashas bikurim, because that's what Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim is about as well. It's not just about telling the story. It's about saying thank you, appreciating everything Hashem has done for us. And I think if I can expand a little bit, that the Hakaras HaTov that we express and that we feel on the Seder night should revolve not just around Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the beginning of the process. That's the ikar of the process, obviously. I think Kol Echad Ve'Echad L'Fom Daga Delei, every individual in his station in life, you know, everyone has what to be thankful for. Sometimes we have challenges, but Baruch Hashem, we all have bracha in different ways. For some, it's their health. It's a big bracha. For some, it's their success. Success in school, success in business, success in learning, I should put first. Success in learning. Parnasa, friends, simchas achayim that we feel. There's a lot to be thankful for. Despite whatever challenges a person is going through, there's a lot to be thankful for. I think the Seder night is a time to express that thanks. Ve'al kulam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a Torah. He's given us the opportunity to learn, to be in yeshiva, and to learn together with other chaverim, to be uplifted by chaverim who really are inspiring and who galvanize us, who motivate us to accomplish more and more. That's a tremendous hatovah. We have to appreciate that. The Seder night is a time to take pause and to express HaKaras HaTov for everything that we have, the Al Kulam, that we have a Torah, that we have the blueprint to navigate this complicated world. What greater HaTovah has HaKadosh Baruch Hu done for us? The Seder night is a time to express HaKaras HaTov for all of that HaTovah. And that's really the yesod of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim. We all know that the night of Pesach is called Leil HaSeder. Leil HaSeder. What kind of a name is that? Why do we call it the night of the Seder? So, of course, the simple answer is that there's a Seder HaDvar, and there's a certain order. Kadeh, Shurchatz, Kapas, Yachatz, etc. There's a certain order to the Seder, a certain order to the order, right? There's a certain Seder to the night. It's not just the things we do, it's not just the list, but there's actually a Seder to the list. We have to say Kiddush before we have karpas. You can't eat before you say kiddush. You can't have motzi matzah before you say kiddush. We do yachatz before magid. You know, everything has a certain order. You can't just do it. It's not like we have these few things, these 10, 15 steps that we have to take, and you could do it in any different order. No, there's a seder to what we do. That's the simple answer. It's called Leil HaSeder because there's a specific order to how we do things on the Seder night. And that's a Musa Haskel in general. Avodas Hashem requires a sense of Seder. You don't just do things haphazardly. There's a Seder to how we do things. That's certainly one element. I saw in Rav Yisrael Meir Druk's Haggadah, it's a new Haggadah that they came out with, a beautiful Haggadah that I strongly recommend. So he quotes a Sfas Emes. I don't know what the mocker of the Sfas Emes is, but he quotes a Sfas Emes that has a beautiful pshat here. He says maybe it's called Lel HaSeder because before Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Seder of the world was a little turned upside down. Mitzrayim is a son of Chum. Right? Mitzrayim was the son of Ham, and we know that after the klala of Noach, Noach was Makalel Knaan, but he was Makalel Ham too. After the klala of Ham, so then Klal Yisrael was supposed to be Moshel on top of all of the children of Ham. We were supposed to be on top. During Shibud Mitzrayim, we were not on top. Mitzrayim was on top. So that's a Seder Hafuch. That's an Olam Hafuch. There was a topsy-turvy world. There was a lack of Seder in the world. Mitzrayim was on top, and Bnei Yisrael were not on top. Through Geulas Mitzrayim, the Seder was fixed up. Now it's the right way. Well, now it was, at the time of Geulas Mitzrayim, it was the right way. Bnei Yisrael were on top. Now we're in Golas, but through Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Seder was fixed up. Similarly, we know that Klal Yisrael in the Navi is called the Reishis, Kodesh Yisrael, Hashem Reishis Tfuasa. Rashi at the beginning of Parashas Bereishis bara Elokim Bishvil HaTorah Shenikreis Reishis Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. Bnei Yisrael are called Reishis. They're the top, the Rosh. They're supposed to be at the top. But what happens when we go into Golas? The Pasuk in Eicha says Hayut Zoreha LeRosh, that our oppressors become the Rosh. They come on top. The Klal Yisrael and Golas are on the bottom, and the Tzorim of Klal Yisrael go on top. It's an Olam Hafuch. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But through Yetzias Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael became the Rosh again. And Befrat, at the time of Kabbalah Satorah, when we received the Reishis of Torah, then it was the combination of the Torah Shenikru Reishis, Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. That's when we really became the Reishis. The Leil HaSeder is a time that we celebrate when we came back on top. And of course, we're now in Golas. We hope that once again we'll be back on top. But that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is about. Maybe that's the deeper message, says the Sfas Emes. Maybe that's the deeper message, that it's called Leil HaSeder, because it's a time that we talk about Geula, and Geula is when the Seder changes, when Klal Yisrael once again is on top, and the oppressors and all of the Oivim are not on top any longer. The first element of the Seder is, of course, Kaddish. We say in Kaddish, Zman Cheruseinu. But Pesach is a Zman Cheruseinu, a time of Cherus. Why is Pesach called a Zman Cheruseinu? Are we really B'nai Chorin nowadays? We're still Avodim. So we were Avdei Paro in Mitzrayim, and we're Avdei Hashem now. We have to do mitzvahs. We're beholden to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're still Avodim. B'machshava, b'dibur, b'maisa, we're even more avodim than we were avodim t'para. T'para, we had to do work, but he wasn't in control of our machshavas. We could have whatever machshavas you want, machshavas of kedusha, machshavas of ruchnius. He wasn't in control of our dibur, really, right? When we were home, we were able to say what we want. Now we're gansen avodim to Hashem in machshava, in dibur, in maisa. So why is this a Zman Cheruseinu? What, this is a time of Cherus, a time of freedom? What does that mean? Reb Chaim Mintz, in his new Haggadah, Eitzah Chaim, beautiful Haggadah, strongly recommended as well. Excellent Haggadah. So he wants to suggest that Avdus, what does Avdus mean? An Eved is someone who's forced against his Ratzon to do what the Master wants. He's forced against his will to do what the Master wants. That we know that every person has a guf and a neshama. We have both. What's the ikar of a person? Neshama, not the guf. So when we do what our neshamas want, we're not avod. And eved is someone who's forced to do things against his will. If a person's essence is his neshama, so then if he does what his neshama wants, he can't be called an eved. The guf doesn't want it, maybe, but the guf is not, should not be in control. The guf is not the ikar. The neshama is the ikar. So when we were in Mitzrayim, then we were taka forced to do things against our will, both against our guf and against the neshama. But now that we became b'nei chorin, what does that mean? It means that now we're in a situation where our neshamos get what they want, where the ikar gets what it wants. We're doing Torah, we're involved in Torah mitzvahs because that's our ratzon. We're not being forced. We're not being forced. Sometimes a person feels like, do I really want to get up early for davening? Do I really want to do that? The Rama Menuchas Gerishin tells us, right, that sometimes we have to be kofen also, we have to force a person to give a get until he says, Rotsani, and that's a good get. How's it a good get? But he says, I don't want to give the get. So we beat the guy up, and he says, Rotsani, and Chazal say, yeah, that's fine. So the Rama says, no, because deep down the Rotsan is to do what the Torah wants. But the Eitzahara gets in the way. But if you beat him up, you get the Eitzahara away, and then his real Ratzon, the Pnimius, comes out. The Pnimius of the person wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Neshama. That's not an Evid. The Neshama is not an Evid. So Pesach is a Zman Cheres, it's the time when we express our understanding of what Cheres is really about. Cheres means to allow our Neshamas to soar, to allow our Neshamas to express themselves fully. Because that's what we really want. That's what the guf wants also. It's just the guf is physical, so it can't really appreciate that. But if the guf really were to appreciate what's good for it, then it would listen to the neshama. That's not an avdus. That actually is the ultimate in cheres. And that's what we say. We say, Zman cheres tenu kiddush, we should be thinking, we should be smiling, and thinking how lucky we are that we understand that the neshama is the ikka. There's so many yidden, unfortunately, who don't understand that. How lucky we are. Ashreinu, how lucky we are that we understand the importance of Torah in our lives, and we understand that the neshama is the ikar of a human being. That's the ultimate cleanse. Okay, we spoke about karpas and the sichas musa, so let's move to yachatz. There's not so much time, so let's move on. Why do we do yachatz? So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Kolbo that the purpose of the yachatz is to get the children to ask. That's the goal of Karpas, according to the Gemara in Pesachim. But the Kolbo says that that's also the goal of Yachatz. One answer of the Kolbo. And then he also says that it's that we say the Holach Ma'anya over the broken matzah. We say the Holach Ma'anya over the broken matzah. We break the matzah first, because Madago Shal Oni Befrusa Afkan Befrusa. Matzah is called Lechem Oni. Lachma Anya, so Madako Shalani Befrusa, Afkan Befrusa. We wanna explain what the Lachma Anya is. So first we break the matzah, and then we talk about the Lechem Oni. We talk about the matzah, Madako Shalani Befrusa, Afkan Befrusa. But the question is, why do it here? Why do it here? We could do Yachatz later. Like, what's? Why is it so relevant to this part of the Seder? If there's a kiyum of lechem oni befrusa, so at some point in the Seder, we should break the matzah, and we should explain that this is lechem oni. Like what's the inyan to do it over here? In fact, the Rambam Menuchas Chametz Matzah doesn't have yachatz over here. He has yachatz before motzi matzah. Before you do motzi matzah, the Rambam actually holds that the lechem mishnah on the Seder night is 1.5 matzahs, as we discussed at great length last year. It's 1.5 matzahs. A new din of lechem mishnah, that lechem oni redefines lechem mishnah on the Seder night. So the Rambam says, do yachatz right before motzi matzah. You got to create the lechem for the lechem mishnah. So break the matzah before the motzi matzah, that you'll have your lechem oni for motzi matzah. But why? But that's not our minig. Our minig is to do it over here right before magid. So what's the idea? The Maral in Gvuras Hashem suggests, based on Rashi and Pesachim, that also we discussed a great length last year. You can find it in the Ksavim. Rashi and Daf Lamed Vav in Pesachim touches on the drush of Lechem Oni. Gemara says Lechem Oni is Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. So Gemara actually on Daf Kuf Kes Vav has three different drushes for what Lechem Oni means. One is Madako She'oni Befrusa Afkan Befrusa. Another is Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. And then there's a third drush that's less known. That just like an oni, the wife creates the dough, and he is Ofa, so too, by Matzah, we do the same thing. It's a good question, what does that mean? What's the purpose of that drasha? Not for now. Okay, but the two more popular drushes are Lechem Oni, Lechem Shalom Lav Dorm Harbe, and Lechem Oni, Madaka Shaloni Befusav Kan Befusa. Says Rashi on Daf Lamed Vav, what does it mean, Lechem Shalom Lav Dorm Harbe? He says, Omim Olav Haggadah, V'gomim Olav Es HaHalav. That we say Haggadah and Halav over the Matzah. So as we describe, Rashi seems to understand Lechem Shalom Olav Dvarim Harbe doesn't mean that we talk about the Matzah. Right? It's not the Rabban Gamliel, Hoya Omer Matzah Zu Sha'anu Olchem Al Shumma. That's not enough. It's not just that we talk about the Matzah, but rather we say Dvarim in front of the Matzah. Olav over here doesn't mean Odosav, about it, but rather the fun of, that we say Dvarim Harbe in front of the Matzah. Hallel has nothing to do with the Matzah. It's part of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it doesn't talk about the Matzah per se. Not all of the Magid section of the Haggadah talks about Matzah. But Rashi understands, Lechem Sha'onim Olav Dvarim Harbe means that you're supposed to say certain words, say the words of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim over the Matzah. That's what Lechem Oni is teaching us. So it could be, that's what the Kolbo means. Right, maybe what the Kolbo means is we have to break the Matzah before we start Magid, before we start the Mitzvah Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. We first have to break the Matzah in two, because we want to be Mekayim both elements of Lechem Oni. First of all, Lechem Sha'onim Olav Dvarim Harbe. We want to say the Magid, we want to say Haggadah and Halal over the Matzah. But over what Matzah? Over the Matzah of Lechem Oni, Madako Shaloni Befrusa, Afkan Befrusa. That's time to say the Haggadah and the Halal over Matzah. But to say it over Lechem Oni, over a piece of Matzah. It's like a double kiyum. It's what I like to call the fusion pshat in the Lechem Oni. Right? You're putting the two together. Right? You want to say Lechem Sha'onim Olav Dvarim Harbe. You're saying the Dvarim Harbe over a Lechem Oni of Madaka Shaloni Befrusa. A Prusa. That's more of a Lechem Oni. Not just the fact that the Matzah didn't rise. But it's a Prusa. So maybe that's why the Dafka, the Minig, many of the Minig, except for the Rama, many of the Minig, to do the Yachatz over here before Magid, so that you'll be able to fulfill Lechem Oni, Lechem Sha'onim Olav Dvarim Harbe over the Prusa. And that's Taka why we uncover the matzahs throughout the Magid, right? The whole Haggadah is said over uncovered matzahs. Why? What's the reason for that? Why do we have to have the matzah? The answer is, according to Rashi, the Haggadah has to be said over the matzah. That's the whole point. So that's why we keep the matzahs uncovered, except when we pick up the coast. So then we have to cover the matzahs. So how does Magid begin? Manishtan, right? Manishtan. Tolach ma'an yodi achalu avasana ba'ar de Mitzrayim, etc. And then after that paragraph, we say the Manishtan. The Rambam has a very interesting sheet in the Manishtan. We think that the Manishtan is the shayla of the tinok. The shayla, not of the tinok, but of the ben. The shayla of the child. Now, they certainly prime them in preschool to ask these questions. Right? We're paying good money for that Manishtan. The child does ask the questions. But the Rambam has a different understanding. The Rambam says the Manishtana is not the Sheila Saben. We have the child ask them, but that's not the one who asks the questions in the Rambam Seder. The Rambam writes in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Chametz Matzah Halacha Gimel, he says that you have to do shinuyim. You have to do different changes. You have to change it up so that the kids are going to ask questions. What do you do? So the Rambam gives you examples. He says, "Yemechalik kloyos ve'gozim," give them, nuts and different parched grain. I don't suggest you give that to your kids. They're not going to ask any questions. They're just going to be annoyed, right? But give them candies, give them chocolate. Power of a chocolate. You gotta, every generation has its own candy. I guess in that time they had nuts. They had nuts, kloyos, ve'gozim, and other. That's what they would give the kids. They didn't know about chocolate yet. Right? So the Rambam says, give them candy. We take the table away. We talked about this at great length. In those times, they used to have separate tables. It wasn't one table. We don't take the table away. First of all, it might be too heavy to take away, but it's just not, it's not shaykh, right? Everyone's eating on the table. If you take the table away, then you have nothing to say to Seder over. But they would take the table away from the table. You can only imagine. You take the table away from the child. He says, "Hey, Dad, what's going on? We haven't eaten anything.
That's the greatest question.
Rambam. It's not just the Rambam. The Gemara said that. That you oker sa shulchan. The Rambam says chotfin matzah ze mizeh. Right? We grab the matzah. It's like a game, right? It's, you think that you do yachatz, you put the afikom, put the larger part away for the afikom, and you know the father puts it on the table or puts it in his pillow. He puts it in his pillow and he says, "You're not getting this. You're not. I know what you asked for last year, and you're not getting this." Right? The Rambam says no. That the gedolim. It seems like the adults at the table. The adults at the table sort of grab the matzah from each other. Adults at the table, right? This is something new. Right? Try this at your seder. Right? The adults are grabbing the matzah, and then the kids are saying, "What's going on here? What are you doing?" Oh, that's the way to get the kids excited. Shinuyim. To change it up. So the kids are excited, and then they're going to ask about the shinuyim. And then the Rambam adds, in Uchas Chometz U'Matzah, in Parakhes, Halacha Beis, he says, "Va'omer hakore manishtam." The Rambam assumed that one person was going to read Haggadah for the whole tzibur, that they would be yotze midin shomer ka'one. It's a shaila whether you can do that. The Gemara seems to assume that you can. We talked about this also in the Shiurim, the Shiurim of Sachin, that Kufta is Vav Amid Beis. It says there were different Amorayim. It used to be Kore Haggadah for the tzibur. That's what the Rambam had, that the Kore Haggadah is the one who says the manishtam. The Kore Haggadah, what's the Kore Haggadah saying? Isn't that what the child is doing? Rashi in Pesachim also thinks that it's not the child. Rashi says on the Mishnah in Pesachim, Mosdin lo kosheni v'kana ben sho'el. He says, kana ben sho'el. Rashi and the Rashbam say, he asks, why are we mosdin kosheni? Who's pouring the second kos? We normally have kiddush, then we have the meal. What's the second kos? Some people have a kos for birchas hamazon, but most people don't. What's the second kos about? That's not even a question in the manishtana. So clearly Rashi assumes that the manishtana are not being asked by the child. Those are stam questions. Maybe someone else is it. Maybe the Kore Haggadah is asking those questions. Why is the Kore Haggadah asking Manishtana? He knows the answer to the questions. The answer is, according to the Rambam, the words Manishtana are not a question. Manishtana doesn't mean, how is this night different? But how different is this night from all other nights? It's an exclamation. It's not a question, according to the Rambam. So the Rambam says that the Kore Haggadah is supposed to say Manishtana. If you'll be machmer for the Rambam, then after all the children ask the Manishtana, you should say Manishtana yourself. The Kore Haggadah should say the Manishtana. So we actually are not Yotzim Yidin Shomer Kona. Everyone, you know, reads by themselves. So if you'll be machmer for the Rambam, then every person, you know, reading Haggadah before you say Avada Mayinu, every person should say Manishtana. You should turn to the child and say, those are good questions. And then you say, Manishtana, Taka. How different is this? It really is different. You pointed out well. Now we have chametz and matzah, and tonight we only have matzah and namora, etc. You point out very well. These are good questions. But Taka, how different is this night? Everyone's supposed to say these questions because they're not just questions, but rather it's the preamble to Sifri Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's really statements. How different is this night from all of the nights? So according to the Rambam, everyone should be saying Manishtan. Achum, I know that's not the minig, but according to the Rambam, that's really what should be done. Everyone should say the Manishtan. Don't suffice it with the child saying Manishtan. What's the first of the Manishtan? Shebechol halelos anu ochlen chametz u'matzah, halelos ekulam matzah. The Abarbanel has a very interesting understanding of this question. He says, we know whenever a carbon toda is brought, so the carbon is composed of 40 different loaves. Right? A carbon toda has a lot of bread, 40 different loaves, but three of the types, right? There are 10 chalos of each type, four types, 10 chalos of each. Three of the types are matzah, and one type is chametz. Right, there are only two karbanos in the Beis Hamikdash that I brought from chametz. There's the karban toda. What's the other karban of chametz? Anyone know? The shtei alechem. Very good. I'm shavuos. Shtei alechem. But 10 breads, and not all of the karban toda is chametz. And the karban toda is not just lechamim. There's also a karban. There's a behemah. Right, you bring a behemah too. But of the lechamim, 30 of them are matzah, like most karbanos mincha. 30 of them are matzah. Even though the Torah refers to a carbon mincha as lechem, but lechem is not a dough. It's not a bread that's chametz. It's a bread that's matzah. Kol ha'menachos bo'os matzah. Mishnah says. But when it comes to the Karban Torah, 10 of them are chametz. So the question over here is, normally when you bring a Karban Torah, there's chametz and matzah. There's both chametz and matzah in the Karban. But yet here, we're bringing a Karban Torah, so to speak. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yetzias Mitzrayim. And yet all we have is matzah. Is that a little bit of a strange concept, he says? That's the kasha. An interesting idea. I'm not sure that the children have that in mind. But he says that's a deeper message in the question. That normally, when we bring a Karban Torah, it's chametzu matzah. And yet tonight, it's only matzah. So the question is, if that's the shaila, what's the answer? But because we are avadim the parah mitzvah, therefore the Karban Torah is this, my Karban Torah is a Karban Torah. Well, what's the answer if that's the question? My son-in-law, one of my sons-in-law, pointed out to me this past Shabbos that the Chasam Sofer and the Drosh and Shabbos Agado and Shnas Tov Kuf Peches. He was looking at the Drosh's Chasam Sofer and Shul, and he chanced on this piece in Chasam Sofer. I said, I gotta say this over. The Chasam Sofer and the Drosh says, you know what the answer is? If you assume this is the Kashi, the answer is not given at the very beginning. The answer is only at the end of Magid. Yeah, Avadim Ayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim, to tell all the stories of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then what do we say at the end? B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam liras esatzmo ke'ilu hu yotza mi Mitzrayim. A person has to feel like they're leaving Mitzrayim. What does that mean? That we have to feel that we left Mitzrayim 3,000 years ago? Yeah, that's part of it. If our forefathers left Mitzrayim and we were with them, we have to try to re-experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have to have that feeling. Try to imagine the pain and the suffering and the exhilaration of that transition. The transition between Avdus and Cheres. Can you imagine what kind of exhilaration that must have been? It was tentative. They were still afraid, but it was so exhilarating. That's certainly part of it. But says the Chasam Sofer, it's not just 3,000 years ago. A person has to feel every Seder night like he's leaving the Tzrayim. A person has to feel that the levels of Kedusha that he's reached this year are nothing compared to what he's going to reach next year. Compared to what he's going to reach from this Pesach to the next Pesach. That it's like a Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is this year. There were limitations on us and avdus on us. We weren't in the level that we were supposed to be. A person has to feel that every year he grows mila. One level, another level, another level. To the extent that the previous year is like a Mitzrayim to him. That it's nothing compared to the Cheres that he's experienced this year. So if that's the case, what carbon is he really offering? He's not offering a carbon todah, says the Chasam Sofer. He's offering a carbon shlomim, a carbon miluin. Miluin. When Aaron and his children were in Ischane for the Avodah and the Mishkan, they offered a carbon miluin. And a carbon miluin only comes as matzah. The lechem of the carbon miluim is not chametz, it's only matzah. Miluim means that we're being mischanech for a new avodah, a new level of kedusha. So that's the type of carbon we're bringing. We're bringing a carbon miluim, we're not bringing a carbon todah, and that's why it's only coming with matzah, if it's not chametz or matzah. What a beautiful idea to take with us, that to say there is really a time that we don't simply recount the old, but we're makabel for the future, that we should be new people. You know, we think Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, that's the beginning of the year. But Nisan's also is also Rosh Hashanah, right? It's a different Rosh Hashanah. Right? The Zman of Cheres, when we think of what Cheres is about, so naturally we should think of, what does it mean for us? What do we want to accomplish with our newfound Cheres? And that should galvanize us to want to grow, to want to become more involved in Torah and Mitzvahs. And the carbon we should bring is not just a carbon todah for a nace of the past. That's what a carbon todah is about. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he did for you in the past. No, it's a carbon miluin for the future avodah. Avodah mayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. Why does the Baal HaGadol have to say lefaro b'mitzrayim? Yeah, lefaro. Or to say, or mitzrayim. Or why? What's this lefaro b'mitzrayim? The Rav in his Haggadah suggests a beautiful idea that there are two types of slaves. There's an Eved who's owned by an individual, and there's an Eved who's owned by the state. Both avodim, both types of slavery are degrading, but they're different. If an eved is owned by an individual, so sometimes he can attain a position of power in the household of the master. Take, for example, Yosef. Now, Yosef was a sar in the house of Potiphar. He wasn't completely degraded. Okay, he wasn't on the level that he should have been. But he had some kind of position of prominence, even as an eved. But if a slave, if an eved is the property of a cold, merciless corporate state, so then there's no relationship, there's no friendship, there's no level that he can reach in that situation. No matter how long he remains an eved, he's new to the master. Like the first day, the master has nothing to do with him. He just does his job. The master doesn't even care who he is. That's the meaning. That's the meaning over here. That we were avodim lefaro v'mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was a corporate state. So much so that the king didn't even have a name. Every king in Mitzrayim was called Paro. Now we find out, the historians try to figure out which Paro was this. But Paro means that, you know, everyone was faceless. The goal was just to do what the state needed. The identity of the subjects of the king, the identity of the king himself, was not really significant. So just imagine avodim in such a circumstance. They're a faceless, meaningless group with no relationship, completely impersonal. That just highlights the cruelty of the avdus in Mitzrayim. And maybe that's what the Baal HaGadol wants to say. We were avodim to Paro in Mitzrayim. Paro emphasizes, the name Paro emphasizes this idea that we weren't stam avodim to a master, but we were avodim to a corporate state. We were faceless avodim that had no relationship with the master. That made it even more cruel. So I was thinking, maybe that's really the hemshech of the Baal HaGadol, Vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu Misham. You know, in the pasuk in Chumash, it says Vayotzienu Hashem Misham. It doesn't say Hashem Elokeinu. Why Elokeinu? Why does the Baal HaGadol add that word? So maybe based on the Rav's idea, that's the contrast that he wants to create. That we were avodim to Paro Mitzrayim, where Mitzrayim didn't care about us, Paro didn't care about us. We were just a number. We were less than a number. They didn't even care. But what do we have now? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokeinu, our God, the God that loves us, the God that cares about each and every individual. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and we have a relationship with Him. It's the contrast that we were avodim to a state that cared nothing about us, and now we are Bnei Chorin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares so much about us. Okay. Sort of running out of time. So let's move along. Okay, Keneged Arba Abonim Divrei Torah. We always talk every year, we talk about Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Maisa of the Chamisha Chachamim. Okay, for this year we'll skip that. Keneged Arba Abonim Divrei Torah. Rav Shechter points out that this is an important message, not just for the Seder night, but for a whole year. Keneged Arba Abonim Divrei Torah. The Torah speaks to all four children. Talmud Torah is for everyone. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Perek Aleph Halacha Ches says, Kol Ish Mi Yisrael Chayav B'Talmud Torah, Ben Oni, Ben Oshir, Ben Bocher, Ben Zalken. Everyone is Chayav B'Talmud Torah. And there are all different types of people. There are Talmid Chachamim, great Talmid Chachamim, Gedol Yisrael. There are Talmid Chachamim on a lesser level. There's the Hamon. There are all different types of people. But everyone is Chayav B'Talmud Torah. Person can't say, I'm not such a Talmud Chacham, it's not for me. No, Talmud Torah is for everyone. Talmud Torah is for everyone. And that's why we say, Keneged Arba Abonim Divrei Torah. The Torah talks to all of the children. They're all at the table. They're all at the table, whether they're the Chacham or the Rasha, whether they know or they don't know. Everyone's at the table. Because the Torah has what to say to everyone. And there's an inyan to try to educate everyone in their own way. Even if it's at pesachlo, b'loshen akeva, at, you know, the mother has a softer tone. Right, as the pasuk says, ish imo v'avim tiro, kavid es avicha v'esimecha. When it comes to kibud, the Torah puts the av before the em. When it comes to mora, the Torah puts the mother before the father. As Chazal say, the mother's mishadalto bedvarim. The mother wins over the child. Right, the mother wins over the child bedvarim. The mother is more sensitive, talks in a softer way to the child than the father. And that's the way sometimes you have to teach the child. You got to teach the child in a way that's soft, that they'll be able to be makabel. The Torah has different ways to teach everyone. But everyone has to be at the table, even the Russian. Even the Russian, so to speak, even the one who's not on the level. Right? He's a little antagonistic. But think about it, he's sitting at the table. He's at the table, he's not away from the table. We're not afraid of questions. The Torah is not afraid of people who ask questions. There are answers to all the questions that you can ask. Sometimes we don't know the answers. That doesn't mean that there aren't answers. There are answers to all questions. And we have to make sure that all the other children know that there are answers to all the questions. Don't be afraid to ask. If I don't know the answer, the father should say, if I don't know the answer to the questions, I'll ask others. We'll find the answer. And sometimes there are things in life that we don't know answers, that we don't have any answers to. We can't answer everything in life. But we can answer enough that we get an understanding of life and we realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. And some way, some small way, that's the ultimate answer. Even if we don't have answers for everything that happens in life. But that's a message too. That's also a message. That's also a message that the kids have to give. What do we say about the Chacham? Right? The Chacham Ahu Omer Mahaidos Ve'achukim Ha'mishpatim Asher Tziv Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. What's the answer? What we tell them about the Afikom? That's the only thing we tell the Chacham? What's going on over here? So the Ritva, in his parish, he says, no, we tell him everything up until the Mishnah. Afikom is one of the last Mishnayos of Maseches Pesachim. So we tell him everything. Yeah, but that's difficult. It's not the last Mishnah. There are two other Mishnayos after that Mishnah. We know that we dealt with that after Pesach last year, right? We started our Iyun. We talked about Afikoman, and then we talked about Birchas HaPesach and Birchas HaZevach. Remember that whole Ikar V'Tofel and Kabonis and Pidyon HaBen? There's a Sugya Pidyon HaBen and Afkuf Chafal. There's a little Gemara after that, right? There's certainly two Mishnayos after that. So what does it mean? We tell them about the Afikoman. Matisyo Salomon wants to suggest that what's the Chacham asking? The Chacham is asking, why do we have so many mitzvos that are zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim? So many mitzvos, like the Ramban's Kash in Parshas Bo. We have Shabbos and Mezuzah and all the mitzvos of the Seder night and Tefillin. So many mitzvos. What do we need so many mitzvos for? That's it. That's really his Kash. That's really his Kash. So what's the answer? Afata emerlo kihilchas ha-Pesach. What's the kihilchas ha-Pesach? We tell him it's like the Hilchas HaPesach, Afikoman. Why can't you eat after the Afikoman? Because we need that the Tam Matzah should be Nisha Befir, that you should have the taste. That the impression of the Matzah should stay with you. We tell the Chacham we have so many mitzvahs that are Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, so that the taste, the Roshem of Yetzias Mitzrayim should stay with us constantly. We constantly talk about it. We enter into the home and we pass the mezuzah and we have Shabbos every week and we put on tefillin every day. We're constantly talking about it and doing mitzvahs that remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim because we want the Roshem to stay with us. And the more we do, the more mitzvahs that are involved that relate to Yetzias Mitzrayim, the more it's going to make an impression on us. Like the Sefer Achinuch says, Ha'adam nifal kefi pulosav. A person is affected by his actions. When we do actions and we think of why we're doing the actions, we talk about that, so that affects us. So that's exactly the point. Certainly the mitzvahs of the Seder night, we talk so much about Yetzias Mitzrayim on the Seder night. But even the other mitzvahs, whether it's tefillin or mezuzah or Shabbos or whatever mitzvahs that we have that connects to Yetzias Mitzrayim, we do so many mitzvahs because we want to keep this idea fresh. It's so important that Muna B'Hashem, Hashkochas Hashem, all the yesodos that Yetzias Mitzrayim taught us are so critical that we want to do meisim that are going to keep that fresh in our minds. Fresh in our minds. V'hi Shamda, there's a lot said about V'hi Shamda. Let me just share with you a short word. Rav Druk wants to suggest, you know, we say V'hi Shamda when we pick up the coasts. What does V'hi Shamda have to do with picking up the coasts? It's not a Dovah Shabbat Dusha. Like, well, what are we doing over here? He suggests very beautifully, I heard from someone else that there are some Hasidic Rebbes that say this. He didn't know which particular Rebbe. But this is said. What's Vehisha Amda? What stood for us throughout the generations that the Goyim are trying to destroy us, but there's one way that we maintain our uniqueness. What is that way? The Yayin. Yayin. We stay away from the Stam Yenam. We stay away from the Yayin of the Nochri, if the Nochri touches the Yayin. We don't drink, even if it's our own Yayin, we don't drink together with the Nochri, we don't drink together with others, with non-Jews, because that creates a kirva. The Yayin creates a kirva. The Balagod is saying that the way that we've maintained our uniqueness throughout the generations is Vihi, through the Gzeras Chazal of Yayin. So when we uphold the Gzeras Chazal of Yayin, that maintains our unique identity. We're not misarev with the other nations, and we're able to maintain our special character. And that's really what we've been able, that has enabled us to remain distinct and to remain alive throughout the Golos. The Balagada quotes the pasuk. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw when Klal Yisrael, time to redeem Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, he saw that they didn't have mitzvahs. V'at Eirom ve'Eria, you didn't have mitzvahs. And I said, B'damaya Chayi v'omolach B'damaya Chayi, I gave you the mitzvahs of Dan. The mitzvah of Dan Pesach and Dan Mila, and those mitzvahs were the ones that made you be zocha to a geula. What's special about Dan Pesach and Dan Mila? Why were those the two mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave? So, some point out, these happen to be the two mitzvahs I say that there's a chiyuv kares for. If you don't do them, there's a chiyuv kares. But what's miyuchad? What's special about these mitzvahs that's unique about them? And that these mitzvahs were the ones that brought us to geula. The Chaim Mintz, once again, a beautiful Haggadah. So he wants to suggest, we haven't quoted him in the past, I figure let's put him in this year. The Chaim Mintz wants to suggest that the Korban Pesach demonstrates the Achdus of all of Klal Yisrael. Like the Maral develops, there are many halachas in the Korban Pesach that talk about Achdus. First of all, you're nimna on the Korban Pesach, you have to be counted on the Korban Pesach. What's more, it's also to be motzi from the Mokom of the Chabura. Chabura, everyone has to be with the Chabura. The Korban Pesach has to be roasted. Roasting causes the basar, it causes the flesh of the Korban to become hard and to be mischaber, to connect to itself, as opposed to bishel. If you're mevashel, then it softens the meat and then it falls apart. So the roasting also shows a certain achdus in the meat. What's more, the Korban Pesach has to be nitzla kulo ke'echad. Rosho al kra'av al kirba, it all has to be together, the head with the legs, with the all of the Avon together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah Korban Pesach to say that if Klal Yisrael is ba'achdus, so then they can be zocha to Geula. But if we're not ba'achdus, we're not going to be able to be zocha. What's the idea of Mila? So he wants to suggest that the purpose of Mila shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's connection to each and every Jew. To each and every Jew. The fact that there's a chosam avdus on the body of each and every Jew, that's a different notion. Korban Pesach is the achdus in Bnei Yisrael, the fact that we are ba'achdus. But Mila comes to show us something else, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a connection with each and every Jew. And it's these two yesodos that made Klal Yisrael bizocha to geula. The fact that they were ba'achdus, they understood the importance of achdus, and that they did bris milah, to show that they realize that they have a connection with Kodesh Baruch Hu. But perhaps, based on his first vart, his idea of Korban Pesach, maybe we can say that milah too, the shalah points out that milah is a bris achdus, that all of Klal Yisrael have the same milah. Right? Think about it. Achdus means that we're all the same. We're in it together. That's what milah is. We're all the same. We have the same simen in our guf. So maybe that really is the yisod. So one overarching yisod that Bris Mila and Korban Pesach teaches, and that is that Klal Yisrael has to be ba'achdus. If we want to go ula, we have to be united together. If we're united together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do incredible things. Wow, there's so much to say. I don't even know what to skip anymore. It's like, wow. Okay, it's always next year.
Thursday schedule, just keep on going. Thursday schedule.
Okay. We mentioned the machlokas tanoim. It's so nice. You know, we do the beginning always, and you never get to the middle. You never get to talk about the middle. So much detail in the middle also. That's so beautiful. Okay, the makas. The Eser makas is certainly a part of the Haggadah that's very important. Eser makas. You know what, let me go back. I want to talk about something else. Right? The Baal HaGadah says, Vayareu osanu ha-mitzum, that the mitzum did bear to us. What does it mean they did bear to us? So he says, Hava nischak malo. Mitzum had this evil plan. Mitzum had an evil plan. An evil plan? That's the Vayareu osanu ha-mitzum, the mitzum did bear to us. It should have said, Vayasimo lov sari misim, that they put taskmasters on them. And they made them work hard. It sounds like Vayareo Sano Hamitzim was the evil plans that they had. The evil plans. But what it doesn't even say what the evil plans were. Right? It doesn't even say what the evil plans were. So I saw Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov Borenstein in his Agoda. It's a very beautiful idea. He says that after Yisro, Parashas Yisro, after he hears of all the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, he says, Ata Yodati, now I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest. Because of what they wanted to do, asher zodu aleihem. The Targum Onkelos says al dechashivu. It's not al asher zodu that they did bemezid, that they did terrible things. No, kibadover asher zodu aleihem because of all the eitzos, the evil machinations they had, all of the bad eitzos that the Mitzrayim had. What does that mean? The Brisker Rav explains. Based on another kasha, we say in Hallel, Halus Hashem kol goyim, ki gavar aleinu chasta. The goyim should praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu, ki gavar aleinu chasta, because Hakadosh Baruch Hu did chesed with us. So therefore, the goyim should praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu. What does one have to do with the other? Why should, if Klal Yisrael are the beneficiaries of Hakadosh Baruch Hu's atava, why should the goyim praise him? So up to Brisker Rav, the goyim know what eitzes they have to destroy us. They know all the eitzes that they have to do bad to us. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu foils their plans, then Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they realize how great he was. They realize the tremendous hatava that he did. Because it's not just that he's good to us, but rather he foils the plans of the goyim that want to do bad to us. So it's the same thing over here. Yisro was saying, he was one of the advisors of Paro, right? There were three in the Eitzah, Eov and Yisro and Bilam. So he knew what the Eitzah was. He knew what the, and when he saw that the Eitzah was overturned, so he realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so great. Vayareu osanu, sometimes we don't even know the evil that the goyim want to do to us. But the evil is havanis chakmalo. Sometimes the evil is the plan that we don't even know of. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from plans that the goyim have that we don't even know existed. Sometimes that's the greatest evil that the goyim have. It's not what they do to us, but rather the plans that they have for us, and we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from those plans. The Baal HaGadah talks about the makas that the Mitzrayim were loke in Mitzrayim, they were loke alayah. Kamishim Masayim. Well, what's this machlokas? What does that do with anything? Like why even talk about it? So the Vilna Gaon is a famous pshat. That in Parashas B'Shalach it says, "Kalamachla shasanti b'Mitzrayim lo osim alecha." Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Whatever machlo, whatever mach I gave Mitzrayim, I'm not going to give to you." So the Tanoim have a machlokas. How many machas did the Mitzrayim get? The more machas the Mitzrayim get, the more Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to save us. The more He's not going to do those machas to us. So the more the Mitzrayim got, the better it is for us. Chatzka Levenstein has a similar idea, but different. He says, "No, the more Kadosh Baruch Hu beat up the Mitzrayim, it shows the greater love He has for us." He loves Klal Yisrael, so what's he going to do? He's going to beat up those who fight against us, who try to torment us. That shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ahava for us. Matzah zu shanu ochem al shum ma. Al shum shal hizbik b'tzekam shal avasen al hachmitz ad shenigul. Ad shenigul aleh melch machem lochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu ga'olam miyad. You know, from the Baal HaGadah, you get the impression that we eat matzah because of the chippazim. We eat matzah because the geula was the chippazim. If they didn't leave b'chipazon, if they didn't leave in haste, so then we wouldn't be eating matzah. What's the chashivas of chipazon? What's the chashivas of the chipazon? Why is that such a critical idea? Maybe the answer is that the chipazon showed HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't willing to wait. When Klal Yisrael's man of Geula came, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't willing to wait for 1 second. Why was he not willing to wait? Because it was time. The tachlis of the world is that there should be a Geulas Yisrael, that the Lakachti Eschem Lila'am, that Klal Yisrael should be the Am Hashem. That's the goal. And when the potential for that goal came, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in his understanding that the potential was there, that it was time to be Goel, that the tachlis of the world was going to be able to be accomplished, b'shul Yisrael sh'niku reishis, b'shul HaTorah sh'niku reishis, he didn't want to wait for a moment. He wanted that potential to come to fruition at the earliest possible time. And that's chipazon. The yisod of matzah, whenever we eat matzah, we think of the chipazon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to waste a moment. It would have been such an incredible hefzid. Imagine if Klal Yisrael had been redeemed just 1 moment later. So 1 moment that they could have had a kesher with Kodesh Baruch Hu, that moment would have been lost. Whenever we eat the matzah, we have to think of the value of each and every moment. If we're Avdei Hashem, if we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what a tremendous opportunity that is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo didn't want to delay. He didn't want us to serve him even for a moment less. So we too have to appreciate the value of each and every moment of Torah and Mitzvahs, every moment of serving Hashem is so important. So important that really is the message of matzah that we take with us. Shtaka bizocha, that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't wait just one extra moment, but he redeemed us when the time came, so too we should be zochet to see this year. This should be the year that we see the ultimate geula. We see the binyan bayis shlishi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us only shuos benachamos. And together, we should be zochet to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu b'nheira v'yameinu. Amen.